Turn with me in your Bibles to James chapter 1, or you can look at your notes there this morning because the whole text is right there. If you know anything about James, if you were listening to Rob there, you know this passage talks about trials. And I will tell you, just having lived life with people here the past 15 years, having walked with people, I feel like I'm walking on holy ground this morning. And sometimes in all of this, you know, I really am like, Lord, don't let me be like a bull in a china closet, you know? And this morning, we're going to look at James, and we're going to talk about this idea of trials. There's no other place where, you know, we feel the pressure more. And I've got some encouragement to those of you who might feel like, how dare you talk about this today? If you had any clue what I was going through. First, I want to say that I believe God has something for you. And before you think, you know, well, I'll just get through this Sunday and then I'll show up again next Sunday. We're actually going to do this for 4 weeks, okay? We're going to look at James chapter 1, verses 1 through 18 for 4 weeks. And you'll notice the title here is Joy Behind Door B. Now, how many remember 5 years ago when I talked about door A and door B? Raise your hand high. Wow, you guys actually do remember something I say. This is a great day. Maybe I should stop here. Anybody want to review that for us? Let me do a little review. Remember when we talked, and really this just came from really one of the most difficult times, the most difficult time Beale and I faced together, and it was on a Saturday morning riding my bike at White Rock Lake. And door A, it just represents this. It represents walking into the life of Christ, and we realize we enter into the life of Christ by faith in Christ and Christ alone. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Only one way. And above that door, it says following Jesus, okay? So you enter in by faith and you follow Jesus and you do some of those things you know to do, like you do your read, listen, respond, you read your Bible, you come to church and gather with believers, and you obey God, and whatever you do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. And I got to tell you, for me, there was this expectation that went something like this, that if there's an economic downturn and somebody loses their job, we pray and they get a severance package that's so good, they find another job before that severance package runs out and they actually come out ahead financially, okay? Behind door A, there's this expectation that when you struggle with contentment, whether in marriage or as a single person, you know, you pray and somehow God just takes care of it and you move on with life. That behind door A, there's this thought that if I get cancer, I pray, God heals me, and I get up there on a Sunday morning and give a great testimony. And behind door A, when your kids, who you were clapping for this morning, get to an age where their brain is not completely working correctly, and they kind of wander off, you sit down with them and you say, child of mine, remember what a great dad I've been. Remember the things I've taught you from the Word of God. And you read a couple verses and they get up and you don't even have to spend 15 minutes. They give you a hug and say, Dad, what an idiot I've been. And they turn, right? And sometimes that's how life is. But there's also this thing that we've called door B. And you enter into door B, the life of Christ, by faith in Christ and Christ alone. There is no other name under heaven by which men must be saved. Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And so you see above the door, it says following Jesus. So you walk in and you read your Bible and you pray and you go to church and you do all those things. And sometimes there's an economic downturn and you lose your job and your severance package runs out and you lose your house. And that's happened to people here, although we prayed mightily for them. And sometimes behind door B, you battle with discontentment as a married person or as a single person, and you spend a whole lot more time and energy and effort than you ever dreamed you thought you would on that. And sometimes behind door B, you pray for those who have cancer. And Rob read for us today, and his cancer hasn't been healed, and tomorrow he'll have his fourth chemo treatment. And you know, this sermon came out of that deal in our own lives where we had a child who, when they were born, they battled with some things from the start and went off to be a missionary in India between high school and college. Went to college and then started getting these phone calls, and it was amazing how many calls came on a Saturday. I mean, times when I was sitting in my office, calls that no parent wants to get. And before that child was married, I got the phone call, "Dad, I'm pregnant." And what do you do with that? I'll tell you, there's part of me that wanted to kind of hide, get out of door B by hiding. There's part of me that wanted to run by trying to get control and getting angry. There's part of me that wanted to get out of door B by going off into some kind of super silly spiritual place. And what James does for us in these first 18 verses, he calls us to the hard work of living in the reality of door B. The hard work of living in the reality of door B. James starts, and you get a clue right away because he says, "James, a bondservant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings." Don't pass that up too fast. The 12 tribes is probably a reference to Jewish people who have believed in Jesus scattered throughout the whole Roman Empire. First, to say you were a Jewish person at that time and said, "I believe in Jesus as my Messiah," immediately you were put into door B. You lost your community. And no nice little prayer was going to change that, okay? Not only that, to say, "I'm a Jewish person who has now believed in Jesus as my Messiah, the one true God. There is no other name under heaven by which men must be saved. I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but through me." To say that there's only one way to God made you a bad citizen in the Roman Empire. Door B. And there was no little prayer that was going to change that. And on top of all that, you were living in a culture that was morally and politically corrupt and was moving so far from the holiness and purity of God. They were living in door B. And James has the nerve to say, in this space right here, verse 2, "Consider it all joy." It almost feels a little bit like I want to say, "James, do you understand? Do you really know?" And for those of you this morning who, this is so hard to hear, I just want you to know that God in his sovereignty, as I was coming to this, once again has just put Beal and I in a tough spot. Maybe for me, the second hardest time. I would have never planned life this way. And James, he says, consider it all joy, my brethren, as if he's coming alongside of you. Not as someone standing on the outside just simply wanting to preach to you. Consider it all joy, my brethren. And you know what James does for us here in these first four verses? He helps us with this, to understand what is involved in Dorby and what God is doing in Dorby. What is involved in Dorby and what God is doing. But I want you to understand that when he says, consider it all joy, he's talking about your mind. He's not immediately going to say, you need to feel something. He's saying, you need to think something. And over the next 4 weeks, here's what we're going to do. You'll see four blanks on your outline this morning. And I'm going to make four statements, I believe statements, that if you're going to have any shot at all of experiencing joy behind door B, we're going to have to believe what God said is true, and then we're going to trust that the Holy Spirit would bring down fire on what we believe. We'll get to that first statement at the end of this sermon, okay? Let's first talk about this idea. What is involved in staying behind door B? What is involved in door B? Well, look what James says. He says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. When you encounter. It's not if, right? It's when. That if you've lived life long enough in a broken world, you realize that God is not trying to circumvent real life. He's actually inviting you to deal with all of reality when your life is door A, when your life is door B. He's inviting you to deal with all of reality when you encounter. It's so interesting, the word encounter there, this is not, you're not, all the control freaks out here, you're not gonna like this, okay? The word encounter has the idea of falling into something. Because he wants to make sure that you understand that this is not something you can necessarily avoid, okay? When you encounter various trials, knowing what? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Now, the word knowing here is really important because the word knowing is not just I know it because I studied it. It's not just I know it because I gathered some information, as we are so good at doing in this culture. I know it by learned experience. That what's involved in door B is you've got to know that this is true. That instead of circumventing a broken world, God leverages a broken world to produce this thing in us called endurance. I want you to hear this morning. Because of this word knowing, you do not know who you really are until you are tested. There's not a person here this morning that knows who they really are until they are tested. I don't care how much of this Bible you have memorized, you do not know who you really are until you've been tested. I don't care how many sermons you've heard preached. You do not know who you really are till you've been tested. I don't care if you started coming to church when you were a tiny, tiny baby and you haven't missed a Sunday. You do not know who you really are until you've been tested. And I'll tell you, it's a scary thing to get up here and boldly proclaim that, because I too live in a broken world. And I'm not sure how deep and dark my own door B will be, right? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces this thing called endurance. And endurance is going to do something, but we're first talking about this deal. What is involved in door B? Endurance. It comes from a Greek word that means this, to remain under. To stay behind door B, okay? I like to say it this way, to stay in the pain cave. So I want to talk about this idea about endurance, and I want to show you what's on your notes there. This is I have a belt buckle here from the Leadville 100 mountain bike race. It's the race across the sky. How many are familiar with the Leadville 100? Raise your hand here. I see I have some education to do, okay? Leadville 100, it's a mountain bike race in Leadville, Colorado. Oh, let me be clear, since some of you are familiar, this is not mine, okay? I borrowed this from my daughter this morning, okay? But I watched her do this last year. I've been dreaming about this belt buckle for 20 years, okay? So after she did it, took me about 3 weeks, and I said, I'm gonna get into Leadville 100 in 2016. I'm signed up, ready to go, okay? The Leadville 100 is an endurance mountain bike race. It starts in Leadville, Colorado, the highest incorporated city in the United States of America. It starts at a little over 10,000 feet. There's not a lot of available oxygen up there. Here is an elevation profile of the race, okay? Just to give you an idea of some people have interesting ways to choose fun. And if you finish the race in under 12 hours, 12:01 is not good enough, okay? If you finish in 12 hours, you get this awesome belt buckle. Okay, now before y'all think I'm crazy, you know, this belt buckle, in some ways, for some of you, it's all the work you have to do to become a partner in a law firm or to start a business. It's what Steph Curry has to do to win another NBA championship, right? It's what a great musician has to do to be one of the prize winners at the Van Cliburn International Piano Competition, right? You've got to learn how to stay in the pain cave. You got to learn about endurance. So I have an app on my cell phone that is a little countdown deal. I started at 274 days before Leadville. Today, I looked at my app right before I got up here to preach. It says 83 days. I'm a little nervous. Just an example, Tuesday morning, I got up. It was very early. It was still dark outside. And I put my bike on a little machine called my trainer. And I had a workout to do, I was doing interval training. So I did 8 minutes as hard as I could, and then a 3-minute break, and 8 minutes as hard as I could, and a 3-minute break, and 8 minutes as hard as I could. And I'm sweating. I mean, I was so wet, and my legs are burning. And here's some of the thoughts that were going off in my mind when I was in my pain cave enduring. This is a really stupid idea. What am I doing right now? Do I really want to get that belt buckle? Is this interval training helping me at all? Maybe I should just do 6-minute intervals instead of 8-minute intervals. And I realized, you know what? I was saying all the same kinds of things that we say when we're behind door B. God, I can't believe you're letting this happen to me right now. I followed you, God. Is it really worth it to follow you? God, okay, this has been going on long enough. You know, maybe I'm just going to walk out of this just for a short time and shorten this thing a little on my own. God, I can't believe right now I'm hurting so badly. Are you even real in the midst of this? Did I make a mistake signing up for this? You know, as I've been hanging out on my bike a little more lately, it's just funny how God just gives me this inspiration or revelation when I'm on my bike. And one of the things that's really hit me is that I'm a product of my culture. And that my culture is all about this comfort. And I'm not beating up on us for that, y'all. But let's own it. If you've been to any other place in the world, you know, this place is all about comfort. And somehow I bring a relationship to God into that. And when he's not being my little genie or magic rabbit's foot, giving me all the comfort I wanted, next thing you know, I'm railing at him. God, where are you? You know, one of the things about this idea of comfort, in any kind of training I've done before, when I did a half Ironman or I did the triple bypass last year, I realized that the event was calculated for me in such a way that I could be generally comfortable throughout the whole event. The thing that I know about this race across the sky is I'm going to be pretty much uncomfortable the whole time. There's no amount of training I can do. You know, I realized, just been a kind of a busy, when I was starting this, December, January, February, and like many of you, you know, you work 12-hour days, 13-hour days, 14-hour days, and I never ever dreamed that I would actually exercise after a 12 or 13-hour day. That was just not on my radar screen. I could just miss it, but, you know, with my countdown timer letting me know I have 83 days until Leadville, if I have any thought of getting the belt buckle, I'm going to have to consider it joy to keep on pedaling, right? And you know what hit me? I don't just do this with my exercise. I do it in my whole life. This hit me just about 2 months ago. I realized this, that when I come to church every day for the last 15 years, when I drive in here to come up to lead and to do the thing I do as a senior pastor, you know, I realize that I ask myself this question all the time. Why is it not getting easier? Is there something wrong with me? Is there something wrong with us? Is God not doing something? Am I not praying enough? Do you know why? Because I have a rule. We all make up rules, and the rule is this. It should be more comfortable. It ought to get easier. I shouldn't have to live in the pain cave. I shouldn't have to endure. Somehow I think God can glorify himself better by circumventing door B in my life, right? I forgot to say this earlier, so I want to make sure and say this. When James says, consider it all joy, and he talks about the importance of endurance, he is not saying that you don't go through stages of grief. He's not saying that you don't have anger at times. But I want you to hear this. He is saying that there can be something more in here than just pain and anger and grief. There can actually be this thought of joy as you understand what is involved, this idea of endurance, and actually what God is doing. Because, you know, as I look out here, I'm glad it's second hour because I can just go on and on and on, right, Travis? You know, it just hits me right now as I look out here. So many of us, you know, we're missing what God wants to do in our marriages because we don't really want to enter into the pain cave, and it's easier just to pretend and just to kind of go about your way and never deal with the issues in your marriage. And you know, some of us here, it's just easier to stay in whatever place you're at in your life right now. Because you just want to be comfortable. It's easier to stay mad. But I want you to see what God is doing. It says in verse 4, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Three things there, perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. Here's how God is using what he's doing in door B, perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. You know, when I think of somebody who's perfect, complete, lacking in nothing, I can only think of one person. One person who, when he lived on this earth, he was so perfect, He only did what God in heaven told him to do all the time. You want to be like that? Perfect, complete. Complete means you're whole in every part. When I think about all the people who have ever lived, I can only think of one person who ever lived who was whole in every part. He never sinned. He never was dishonest. He never lacked integrity. He never went to a place he should not have gone. Perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. When I think of someone who has lived, I can only think of one person who was lacking in nothing, so that if he ever needed to pay his taxes, he could just get a coin out of a fish's mouth. If he ever needed to feed a party of 5,000, he could just take a few loaves and fishes and multiply them. And if he was being attacked by the people of the world and the pressure was coming, he knew what to say in the moment, and he was able to do it with grace and truth. And you know his name is Jesus. Today, I want you to hear this. Here's your first statement for these 4 weeks. Joy behind door B is going to start with believing this. I believe God is making me like Jesus. I believe God is making me like Jesus. And sometimes he's doing it and it feels like door A. And a whole lot of the times he's doing it in a broken world as you stay behind door B. Do you believe that? I'll tell you, if you get this belt buckle, if you finish in under 12 hours at Leadville, the next day you show up at the Leadville High School gym, unair-conditioned with about 2,000 other people in there, and the old guy who started Leadville to keep Leadville, Colorado from going under financially, he gets up and he'll call your name, and you come down, and he's going to hand you this belt buckle. And when you get this belt buckle, here's what you know, and everybody else knows who got one with you. You know that you endured. You know that at mile 40, you started a 10-mile climb up 3,000 feet to Columbine Mine, topping out at 12,400 feet. You know that you endured that. If you do Leadville, you know that when you're on top of Columbine Mine, you endured whether it was hailing, as it has in years, sleeting, snowing, windy, or cold, or sunny, you know that you endured. And you know at mile 70, when you had to go up a 17 to 18% grade and push your bike up, you endured. And you know, and everybody else who got one of those belt buckles knows that on Tuesday morning, when you were doing your intervals, you did 8 minutes instead of six. Okay. And church, as awesome as this is, unless you have a goal in life that's way greater than a Leadville belt buckle, you will never experience long-term joy behind door B. And if your goal is not greater than your marriage or your marital status, you will never experience long-term joy behind door B. And if your goal is not greater than something about your family, you will never experience long-term joy behind door B. And if your goal is not greater than your career, you will never experience long-term joy behind door B. Here's what I'm going to ask us to do. To understand that God is making me like Jesus behind door B. And to remind us of this truth and the truths contained in James, I'm going to ask us all to commit to something over the next 4 weeks. I call it 7x7, okay? You got it? 7x7. And I'm going to ask you to do this. You're going to memorize with me James 1, 1 through 18. Listen carefully because I'm going to ask for a commitment here. This week, you just start with the first four verses. You with me? The first four verses, and I'm going to ask you to memorize it this way because we're not trying to just simply get a word. We're trying to get ideas here. So instead of doing this word by word memorizing kind of thing, here's what I want you to do. I want you for 7 days, seven times a day, you stand up out loud, you read the text. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. That took 20 seconds. So we're talking about a 2-minute, 20-second commitment a day, right? We're talking about a 16-minute, 20-second commitment a week that you read it out loud, those four verses, 7 days, 7 days, seven times a day. Anybody who's willing to endure that and raise your hand or willing to commit to do this with me over the month, okay? If you miss, you have the notes here. It's the New American Standard Version. If you want to do a different version, that's fine with me. But that we're going to do that together is part of helping us remind ourselves. Our great goal is this, becoming like Jesus. Think about who he is right now as we get ready to sing about his greatness. Stand up with me. Go ahead and stand here, and I want you to think about the greatness of Jesus. It says, he is the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. It says of Jesus, right now, Jesus, here's how great he is. He's holding all things together by the word of his power. Think about this right now. Jesus is, he is in the image of the invisible God, that Jesus is far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named. And Jesus, that Jesus who everything created, all the beauty that's created is flowing out of him. And that Jesus is inviting you to take part in who he is, to abide in him, to enjoy him, and to become like him. Let's think about this great goal as we sing of the greatness of Jesus. Everybody get out your notes here. And I'm going to help you with your homework. And we're going to start here and we're going to read out loud together. James 1, 1 through 4, okay? Let's say it together. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So, church, we're going to say right now what we believe. We're going to say our first belief statement. And here's the thing, guys. Again, we've got to do this hard work of entering into the reality. And we're believing that the Holy Spirit of God would do what he loves to do. You know, the Holy Spirit does this. He doesn't draw attention to himself, per se. He draws attention to Jesus. He wants to help you know how wide and long and high is the love of Jesus. He wants to reveal the things that Jesus has revealed through his words. So we're going to say this, and we're praying that the Holy Spirit would give us this, I know, by experience, reality of these things. So let's say it together. I believe God is making me like Jesus. Amen. You are dismissed, church.